The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Ronnie Phillips Ministries International.
You were created to be more than you are now, to love more than you love now, and to live a life that's fully alive. Take a few minutes and join Pastor Ronnie Phillips for a message of grace that will help you live fully alive.
Stay up to date with everything happening with Ronnie Phillips Ministries International. Go to ronniephillips.org and subscribe to our email list so you can be the first to know about mission trips, new ministry resources, how to watch Pastor Ronnie, and when he will be speaking in a city near you. Subscribe to his podcast so you never miss a sermon. And partner with him today for just $10 a month to help him deliver hope and help through missions, media, and the message of grace.
Don't miss a sermon or a show. Subscribe to Pastor Ronnie's YouTube channel and be sure to turn on notifications so you'll know when he uploads a new video. Follow him on Instagram too for more exclusive content.
What's up, everybody? It's Pastor Ronnie Phillips Jr., lead pastor of Abbas House and founder of Ronnie Phillips Ministries International. So glad to be joining you in your home or on the internet today. I have a special message for you today, a message that God gave me in the middle of the night. It's kind of a funny title. It's called Something Stinks. It's from the Hebrew word bahash, which is the reaction, the spiritual or emotional reaction we have to an aroma or to worship. You know, our lives give off an aroma to God. What kind of aroma are you giving off? I hope this message will be a great blessing to you, and I'll be back to see you in just a few minutes. This is a very personal message for me today, different than I normally preach. I'm usually in a series. I'm usually doing things where it's a four-part or a six-part. And this message today comes from the overflow of my spirit. It comes from my private time in the Lord. I read the Psalms for strength, but I read the words of Solomon for wisdom, because he was known for wisdom. And I love Ecclesiastes as a book to study, because I enjoy the questions and even the cynicism in the words of Solomon. They speak to me. And I was studying over the holidays, and I came to a familiar verse that I decided to dig into in the Hebrew. The more I study the Hebrew language, the more addicted to it I become. And with today's technology, there's really no excuse for a pastor not to check into what the original language says in the Word of God. You know, there are some people who think God spoke in King James. That's the most nonsensical thing I've ever heard in my entire life. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. And if you want to talk about God's language, those are the two, okay? And so everything else is a translation. And I came across a word that spoke to me. The Hebrew language uses physical imagery instead of definitive words to get a point across. Instead of a person being generous, they have an open hand. Instead of a person being stubborn, they are stiff-necked. The words have deeper meaning than English and even Spanish. They often dig very deep into the heart of an image. And so it's important sometimes that we understand what the original language says so that we can truly hear from God. And I came across this word in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and it messed with me. The word is bahash, bahash. And the verse says this, Ecclesiastes 10 verse 1, this isn't our text, but this is what stirred this message in my spirit. It says, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly, a little nonsense, a little dishonor, a little disrespect
to one respected for wisdom and honor. As I was studying this word, the Lord spoke to me, put an impression on my spirit, and I don't really know how to say this without being honest, but he said, "Ronnie, you stink." I said, "What do you mean I stink?" He said, "You're giving off the wrong kind of odor." I said, "Lord, I'm an ambassador of your grace. I'm on TV now everywhere. I've preached 8 crusades. I'm now the pastor for 3 years. I've been honored in the community. What do you mean I stink?" He said, "You're on autopilot. You've learned how to do ministry, but you've forgotten at times the source of ministry." Said, "Remember when you came back to me, how you'd cry and lay on the floor for hours praising me and praying. And now you're a professional. I didn't call you to be a professional. I called you because you had a heart after me. And the only way I'm going to keep you is if you cleanse yourself and you start giving off a new odor. Because right now you stink." And so I did what the Bible says we all should do. I cleansed myself in his blood and in his spirit. The Bible says we're to continually cleanse ourselves. And in the natural, I was raised that you ought to smell good. When I would go visit my grandmother Gladys in Montgomery, Alabama, as a little baby, she would give me a bath. And it was a process. You'd get your bath, you'd get your powder, you'd get your cologne. My father is like a Jew. He showers 3 times a day. His books in his study smell like him. I take multiple showers a day. I don't want to stink in the natural. But science teaches us that we can't smell ourselves. Now, if you get something on you, you can smell yourself. But if you go about smelling the same way every day, others can smell you. But you can't smell you. And could it be in the Christian life that when we get into a routine of doing things the way we've always done them or the way people think we should do them, that we can't smell ourselves? But God says, "You stink. Your worship doesn't please me." Science calls this the olfactory adaptation, which means you can't smell you. Others can smell you, but you can't smell you. And in the kingdom of God, our lives ought to give off a fragrance. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, our text today, says, "For we are to God the sweet aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." Yes. I've been to Israel 3 times and we're going again next year, and I'm excited about that. I'm laying the groundwork to take another team. I've talked to some pastors who'll be joining me. Very excited about that. But I remember the second time I went with Governor Huckabee. Pastor Ken was up in first class, you know, like rubbing it in. You know, and he earned it. He goes and serves the Huckabee family very well. They take care of him. But I was in the back, in those small seats, with a bunch of Hasidic Jews. And no disrespect to my Jewish friends, But these are the men that wear those long wool suits with the curls. They stink, man. I mean, they smell horrible. I have a little bit of sleep apnea. My cousin sent me a CPAP to keep my marriage from falling apart over Christmas. I've been using it. But on a plane, I like to make sure I'm going to sleep on a long flight. So I got in a good sleep. And when I woke up, this Hasidic Jew was reading me the riot act for my snoring. I was sweet and apologized, but my flesh wanted to go, man, you can't talk about my snoring. It's lucky I even fell asleep the way you smell sitting by me. Nothing holy about smelling bad. But when God sees our lives and he sees our worship, is it giving off the right kind of aroma? Or does it stink? The Hebrew word bahash means to smell or give off the wrong kind of odor, to offer up a sacrifice that is not pleasing to God. It was used to describe the Nile River after the fish had died, after the river turned to blood. Exodus 7 verse 21, the fish that were in the river died, the river stank, and the Egyptian could not drink the water of the river. The Israelites used the same word in their anger at Moses. So it's an emotional response to something that's offered. Come on, sir. It can be good or it can be bad. And I believe that worship is the missing jewel of the church. You see, in the Christian life, we go through three different phases. And we progress from one to the other. The first is identification. When you get saved, you understand that you are a body of flesh, that you are a sinner, you confess your sins, you ask Christ to come into your heart, cleanse you, and you realize that what you did was not who you are, and you are now a son, not a slave. We call that identity, identification. So you get saved. You're on your way to heaven. The indwelling power of the Spirit lives in you, but yet there is a period next of sanctification. This is a period where you're saved, but in order to fulfill God's call on your life, you have got to set yourself apart for a season. First 2 years after I came back to God, I didn't hardly do anything because I couldn't. I had to have a time where I was set apart. And I think part of the reason that the Holy Spirit has convicted me is because now I'm so busy with ministry, I don't get the time to set myself apart with God and to listen to him. Yes, I'm in the Word every day. Yes, I pray every day. But am I listening? Am I worshiping him? Am I giving off an aroma that's pleasing to him? So identification, then sanctification, and then declaration. Like John the Baptist, once you've been sanctified and set apart, now you can declare the kingdom of God. Now you can call others into repentance because you've went through that process. The problem we deal with as Christians in the kingdom is this. Once we get to declaration, we don't realize that we have to go back continuously through that process. Because the enemy wants to steal your identity. The enemy wants to whisper in your ear what you did, what you do, what you used to be. And if you don't go back to who you are and who you were created to be, then you'll miss God's plan for your life. So we have to continually go through this process of identification, sanctification, and declaration. If we stay in declaration, talking about the goodness of God, going about the work of the ministry, doing what we know how to do, what we've been trained to do, what we've been taught to do, but we don't go back through the process, then we become an employee, not a son. And I don't want to be an employee. I don't want you to be an employee. I want you to be a son or a daughter in the kingdom of God, and you get there through the sacrifice of worship. Paul would say to this divided church at Corinth, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us, everybody say us, to spread the aroma of knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Check this out. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? So number one, our lives give off an aroma to God. You have a unique fragrance about you. Your worship gives off an aroma. Your generosity gives off an aroma. Your sacrifice gives off an aroma. Your work gives off an aroma. Your relationships give off an aroma. Your attitude gives off an aroma. Your faithfulness gives off an aroma. Your struggles give off an aroma. Come on, somebody. You give off an aroma. And I've mastered the art in teaching you that it doesn't matter how you smell to other people. But understand this. Just because I want you free from the opinions of others doesn't mean that you don't give off an aroma to God. Don't be concerned with others necessarily, but you best be concerned with God as to what kind of fragrance you're giving off. Our lives give off an aroma to God. It is our worship. What scent are you giving off? Worship is proskuneo, to kiss toward. It's intimacy. People do worship in different ways, but the nature of it is your heart. It's the intimacy you have with God. It's the love you have, the appreciation, the adoration, the time you spend with God. Not just in kingdom business, but in your relationship with God. A strong relationship is a relationship where two people have invested time and have been willing to die to their own ideas and ambitions for what that relationship should be. If you want to have a good relationship, you got to compromise. You got to spend time working on it. You can love someone, but if you don't spend time cultivating the relationship, it's going to fall apart. So you need to spend time with God. Spend time in His Word. And for goodness sakes, when you get in an atmosphere where His Spirit is moving, don't be ashamed to worship Him. You don't have to do it my way, and I don't have to do it your way. But by all means, worship Him. Give off the right kind of odor in your personal life. You have to ask yourself, are you getting God's attention? If you feel abandoned, or you feel like your prayers aren't getting answered, perhaps you're giving off the wrong kind of odor. So you have to ask yourself, am I getting to God's heart? Does He know how I feel about Him? And are we connected? When our worship is cheap, fleshly, and free, it will be rejected. See, I was interested in what the group that came back from Passion had to tell me. All of those people worshiping God. But I, like most pastors, I look at finances sometimes. And here's what grabbed me about it. 65,000, roughly, people paid $200 for a ticket. Many rented hotel rooms, probably $1,000 investment. To be in an atmosphere where an aroma would be offered to the Savior of our souls. But as a pastor, I can remember a time where that happened every Sunday. And you got to choose to give an offering. Not by God's standard, but by man's. Nobody forced you to give. But now, you got to pay for it. And let me tell you something. I'm for those events and conferences. I go to them. I'm not being critical. But bless God, Ephesians says, to him be glory in the church. And if you can't worship here, you can't worship anywhere. Because worship to me is not a concert. Worship to me is about intimacy with God. And it starts when you wake up, in the shower, in your devotional time at work. It's how you live your life. It's what you build. It's what you say. It's being willing to forgive that person that hurt you. It's being willing to swallow your pride and show honor when you've been dishonored. It's being willing to do as Jesus said and go the extra mile when you don't feel like walking one more step. That gives off the right kind of odor to God. Worship, when it's free, cheap, and fleshly, it will be rejected. God demands our best in 2020. He demands your best. He wants your whole heart. I believe he wants to know that we are serious. You don't have to convince me, but we all have to convince him. If we are serious about what he's called us to, look at the story of Cain and Abel. Abel kept the sheep. Cain tilled the ground. Cain gave an offering based on sight. What he saw. How it looked. One of the senses granted to him by his creator. Abel gave a blood sacrifice based on faith. Many of us offer to God what we think looks good. And he says, that ain't it. And when he says that ain't it, or when he rejects our Americanized form of worship, we receive rejection instead of the lesson he's trying to teach us. Listen to what the text said. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule or take dominion over it. Anything that's not of faith is a sin. And you know the story. Cain murdered Abel and brought a curse from the ground. But you see, God rejected his offering. He didn't reject him. And he said, if you'll do what's right, which means there was redemption even in Genesis. There was a pathway to restoration even in the beginning. And God's saying that to us today. If you do what's right, will I not bless your sacrifice? And I believe he will. Number two, our attitude affects our access. Our attitude affects our access. We need an attitude of gratitude. Man, if you live in this country and you're in poverty, you'd be considered rich in a third world country. And we walk around inventing new diagnoses, inventing new things to worry about, inventing problems. Allowing the enemy to twist our minds up because we fail to give off the right kind of odor. I've spent enough time on the mission field to understand that we are selfish in this country, that we think that God only died for Americans and God's not an American and he doesn't salute the flag. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for all of us. All of us. Dominicans, Africans, Jews, Arabs. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And you must understand that your attitude affects your access. In Leviticus chapter 10, tells us about Aaron's two oldest sons, Nadab and Abihu. The Lord gave them specific instructions about how to give their offerings, how the offerings had to be made, how the sacrifice had to be burnt. But they didn't have the right attitude towards God. They didn't respect God or His tabernacle. They offered strange fire while being drunk. They chose their style over God's standard. And many of us have done the same things. We've chosen our style over God's standards. They dishonored God and they were killed immediately. You better be thankful for Jesus this morning. Because under the law, the Father didn't play. And if it wasn't for Jesus, friends, we wouldn't be enjoying ourselves in this dispensation of grace like we are. Because understand this, He is holy, He is righteous, and because of His Son, He's gracious. But there will come a time where the Son will judge all of us. Dishonor and disobedience taints our worship. What does it mean to walk in dishonor or to dishonor someone or something? Dishonor means to bring shame on yourself or someone else. See, I believe in kingdom, and I'm living my life by kingdom principles.
Wow, I hope you enjoyed what you heard today. I believe with all of my heart that God is calling His church to worship again. You know, A.W. Tozer said that worship is the missing jewel of the church. You know, we need to get in His presence again. We need to worship God, and we need to understand it's not just about what we do on Sundays. It's about every single day, our work, our lives. You know, our submission to God's will. We need to be committed to worshiping. We are here at Abba's House, and we are at Ronnie Phillips Ministries International. You know, we'll be back next week to give you part two of this message, but I want you to know if you need prayer, we want you to email us your prayer request. It is prayer@abbashouse.com. We want to pray for you. We want to connect you with the church if you don't live in the Chattanooga area. We believe with all of our hearts that God is moving, and we want to connect you with Jesus so that you can give off the right kind of aroma. I'm Pastor Ronnie Phillips, and we'll see you next time.
Worship is more than just singing songs at church. It's all about our intimacy with God. Pastor Ronnie Phillips helps you understand the many facets of worship in his extensive 10-part series, Worship, the Missing Jewel of the Church. You'll learn the basics in Worship 101 and discover three-dimensional worship, sacrificial worship, the pathway to His presence, and so much more. These messages will help you focus on God and to develop a lifestyle of worship. Order the 10-part set on CD or download the MP3 sermons today at ronniephillips.org or call 1-800-877-6493. What are you waiting for? It's time to worship.
Pastor Ronnie Phillips delivers help and hope around the world through missions, media, and the message of grace. Go online to ronniephillips.org to partner with Pastor Ronnie today. And join us again next week for another message that will help you live free and fully alive.